let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio with Father John Wargle, as usual.
That's good.
Well, that means we do this once a week anyway.
Have a habit of meeting this time every week. That's a good thing.
It's a great habit. It's a great habit because the conversation is always very interesting, as will today be.
Well, yeah, the text pretty much presents us with, you know, some interesting things,
yes.
Right?
Well, we're going to talk about Judah, and Judah is just, he's just another one of those bad guys.
Yeah. And that's the issue here. Remember, there's three things that we have to think about when we look at a particular text, right? You have to look at motifs, right?
Yes.
You have to look at structure.
Yep, and the problems.
Mm-hmm. This one presents problems.
Yeah.
First of all, the structure and problem comes together right here with us, because structurally, you wonder why chapter 38 is there, because in 37, you have Joseph's ordeal, right?
We
talked about that, and that he is left in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and it's not until chapter 39 that it picks up on him in Egypt.
With the rest of the story, yeah.
And so we have this chapter 38, which looks like a parenthesis that was just stuck in.
Uh-huh.
And so structurally, we got a problem.
Do people say that, Bible scholars and things, do they say,
what in the world? All the time,
okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a problem,
yeah.
Right? And
right,
there's other
right.
problems here that we'll have to talk about today. But problems are what?
Our friends.
Yes. Yeah. Because they make you think.
I think they're your friends.
No. They got to be our friends.
Okay.
That makes you slow up and think, well, why is this chapter set in here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And well, we're going to answer that both a little bit today, but also in our next podcast.
Okay.
Because we're going to do two podcasts on this chapter.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. But right now, let's just say this. Judah becomes a critical player in the whole story.
Okay. Sure. Yes.
And so what this story does, it artfully brings to our attention, initiates us to Judah and who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And his personality.
Yeah.
And kind of, yeah.
And his personality. And so what we have is the beginnings of character development.
In the Bible.
Yeah. That's
okay.
All these stories have character development. Okay.
Yes.
Look at all the characters we've run into already.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's Judah's turn.
Yeah. Great.
So what we see here is that this is very artful, because actually the whole Joseph story is mirrored in this whole thing. It kind of gives us a prophetic idea of where the whole story is going.
Okay.
It's like a microcosm of the whole story.
Little foreshadowing.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
So structurally, that is the reason why it's there.
Okay.
Right? But we'll develop as we go along. So we see Joseph descending into Egypt. To go into Egypt is always a descent. And the ancient Hebrews didn't think of it geographically, like you're going down south or something.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay. They look at it in a moral way, a
right.
spiritual way. Going down to Egypt is never a good thing.
Okay, so you're going to a worse place than you are right now.
Well, remember, Egypt is the world.
Yeah, right.
Okay, it's the world. It's an ancient culture. It's a culture where they worship all these gods and goddesses. The Nile is there always giving them water. They've become what we might call luxurious You know, everything we think about the world, that's the world. Okay, so Joseph descends into Egypt, not by his own choice, but is going down. And we see the narrative shifting, as we said, to Judah. And we see that this story, which is very squalid, I mean, it really is. Danny, see, this is another problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was dutifully taught almost all the Bible stories in Sunday school, but we never were taught this one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, because...
There's a lot of darkness in it. There's a lot of just
it's morally messed up.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. It really is. So, the most startling thing about Jacob's family is its profound worldliness.
Yeah.
That's a word that we use back in the Baptist days. That person's worldly, right?
Right.
The Catholics are worldly.
Yeah. I mean, we drink and dance.
That's right. Well, the family seems capable of every crime. I mean, we didn't talk about chapter 34, where Dinah is raped.
Oh, right. Yeah.
In Shechem, right? Mm-hmm. And Simeon and Levi butcher the whole town.
Yeah.
These guys are violent. And the rest of the brothers plundered everything. And Jacob himself was upset, not so much about the crime, but the fact that, well, this is going to make me look bad in the neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. Always thinking about everyone else. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so they seem like a roving gang of thugs here. And we have to think of ourselves, this is Abraham's offspring. That's a real problem.
Yeah.
And it's presented to us as a problem. I mean, if you're reading this and you just skim over it and say, well, okay. I mean, a lot of us do because the problems are too hard for us to deal with, okay? And we kind of look at, well, I know the end of the story. It all ends up fine, right?
Yeah, so I look at all these details.
So, you know, I mean, but we have to.
And I hate to say it, but that's the way I always read this story.
Well, problems are our friends, right?
Yeah.
So how is it that God has chosen a family that acts so contrary to our concept of moral purity?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's a problem. And we have to come to the conclusion that this family is not living spiritually. They're living by what I would call their lower parts, okay? Lower parts is basically living by what your eyes see and what gives us physical pleasure.
Feeling. Yeah, pleasure, yeah.
And what have you. Mm-hmm. That's worldliness. You're looking to this world to bring you happiness and satisfaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the family, okay? So what we have here is Judah went down from his brothers. Remember, going down is a bad motif.
Right,
okay?
Yeah.
And here he turns toward a man who is referred to as an Adullamite. Okay, that's a Canaanite town. And he is befriending this guy. Okay, so he's becoming chummy with Canaanites.
Mm-hmm. Which is really a bad thing.
He's left his brothers. Now he's hanging out with, what do you say, a real pagan crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this comes right on the heels of Jacob, his father, who said his soul will go down in grief to Sheol. Again, going down.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he left? I mean, what do you know about Jacob and his family? Why do you think that Judah just said, I'm out of here?
I don't know. It's interesting because it almost seems like he's just trying to get away from them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's a father who's grieving over his favorite son. He doesn't care about Leah's
kids at all.
Sons, yeah. You know, and mm-hmm. And Judah is one of them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
He's the fourth in line of Leah's sons. He doesn't have a place here in the family.
Yeah. So he's definitely on the outside.
Right.
Of everything that's
going
on. And
how many people feel like they're on the outside in their families?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Think about people say, you know, I just can't do this. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of families can be this way. Families can be very, what you call, a very looking good on the outside. Catholics, they're all sitting in a row, you know, perfectly in church or whatever, you know what I mean? And yet, there could be some real spiritual problems going on in the family.
Sure. Yeah.
You have fathers who may not be really playing the man in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Often the mother is doing that load, pulling that load,
sure.
right?
In the spiritual.
Yeah. And then, of
leader.
Course, there's not a real harmony in mm-hmm. the family. And, you know, it's easy to go down instead of live in your lower parts because this ideal, this Catholic ideal, is just not working for me.
Yeah. Or it's too hard. It's
right.
too much.
Yeah.
It's easier to just go down.
Yeah. And you may do that silently within the family or get lost in the family, or you just might just say, I'm leaving the family.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
I'm going to disappear. Yeah.
Right, right, right. So if you look at it from a Judas perspective, you can understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's not real to him.
Right, sure. Yeah, he's not seeing
He may
God.
Be real to my mother, okay,
yeah, right.
or whatever, but, you know, it's all... Yeah, okay, so that's important, okay?
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
You know, God's not real to him.
Right, sure. Yeah, he's not seeing
He may
God.
Be real to my mother, okay,
yeah, right.
or whatever, but, you know, it's all, yeah, okay, so that's important, okay?
It's all just words and hypocrisy to him. I mean, that's what he sees.
To him, yeah. I mean, there must be something genuine in his family, but he can't latch on to
Yeah, it. Yeah, got it. Okay.
Right. So this is an ancient phenomenon. It goes way back, and it's in our churches today, right?
Sure, of course, yeah. Well, it's humanity, you know. I mean,
yeah. So what does he do? He sees a Canaanite woman. Of course, Canaanite women is, that's the dark side of the woman motif. Every motif's got a bright side and a dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the bright side to his parents would get a nice girl from Aram, where Abraham got... his wife, and where he got a wife through his servant for Isaac, you know, all that sort of thing.
Sure.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And Esau actually marries, you know, two Canaanites, right?
Mm, yeah.
So that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Esau displeased his mother. And so he goes off and he marries a couple of Abraham's offspring through Ishmael, thinking, okay, this is going to make up for it. But, right. you know, I mean, God knows what kind of mess his family was in, right?
Right, sure.
So he's latching on to a woman of the dark side,
mm-hmm.
a Canaanite woman. However, we see that there's hope here, Tamar, okay? Anyways, that will come up. So Judas saw this woman, and he saw and took. Seeing and taking in the Bible is a bad thing.
Yes.
Okay, we saw it with Eve in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with the sons of God or the fallen demons. Those
mm-hmm.
saw the women and they took,
mm-hmm.
right? And out of that came a, you know, a demonic race, basically, right?
Yeah, sure.
So there are other, I mean, David sees and takes, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another word for concupiscence. And what is concupiscence? That's a big Latin term. In the Hebrew Bible, it's just plain seeing and taking. Okay.
Uh-huh.
A concupiscence is basically sexual taking rather than self-gifting in the context of a married life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful illustration, not beautiful, but it's a very vivid illustration of who we are when we're living a concupiscent life.
Mm-hmm.
We see and take. And the more we see, the more we take, the less fulfilled we really are.
Sure. It's very simple to look at those two words like that, see and take, and recognize when it's happening to me. I mean, that's very easy to put it into that context.
Yeah.
And it helps me to understand better. I'm about to do that. You know, like I'm doing this.
Right.
I'm going down this road of seeing and taking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's...
Well, you know... I think that's why I went Old Testament, Danny, because it's very concrete.
Yeah.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I have anything against, we're reading through the book of Romans and I love it, but that's propositionally very, very difficult reading, right? Mm-hmm. And it's epistolatory, okay? And it's speaking theology in the context of the Greco-Roman world, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Much more complex.
It's much more complex. So I'm a simple guy. That's why I went into Old Testament studies.
Well, they are kind of simple stories. There's some complexity into it, but
right.
The ideas they're more simple. You are right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, very vivid,
mm-hmm.
very practical type things, right? So concupiscence is deceitful. That's what JP2 says in his Theology of the Body, right? Because the body is meant to tell the truth.
Hmm.
So when we are in this situation with concupiscence, we're telling lies with our bodies. Our bodies are saying one thing, but in our deep down interior, we're saying something else.
Yeah,
like
right.
The bodies might be saying, I love you,
mm-hmm.
but inside of us, we're not saying that.
Yeah.
We're using.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're seeing and taking.
Or it's seeing and taking.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so in a marriage bond, the goal is to speak the truth with your bodies. Okay. And it's kind of like being naked, but not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where each self gift themselves to one another, you're telling the truth when you are having relations, right? And
yeah.
That's the beauty of it. That's why it has to be within a married bond that's covenantal, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because mm-hmm. in the safety of that covenantal bond, especially as a sacrament in the Catholic Church, where grace is given so that we can sacramentally live out our married lives, we can get to the point where we are naked and not ashamed, and where we can self-gift ourselves and say the truth with our bodies.
Right, right. It's in that context that's the only way that will happen.
That's right.
Real, I mean, mm-hmm. true self-gifting.
Yeah. So there's one other thing I want to bring up here, and that's that whole idea of leveret marriage. Leveret in the Latin means brother.
Okay.
Now listen how the story unfolds, okay? Because Judah saw the daughter of a Canaanite named Shua. He married her, and they had children. The first one is Er, okay? The second one's Onan, the third one's Shelah. Now, Er got a wife named Tamar. Okay, that's where I made a mistake earlier in this podcast in saying that Judah's wife was Tamar. Well, I can't erase that, but that's I made it up here at the end of the podcast, okay?
Okay.
And Er died, and so he wanted his other son, Onan,
oh, right,
to ring up offspring. Okay, this is the way that they took care of widows in the past. It's weird, but
so they're just trying to make sure that the widow has someone to care for her when she gets
and
old.
Has children to rise up for the property.
Oh, right.
Okay, gotcha. So for the brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as odd as it seems to us today, that was a social institution. Okay. Well, Onan, he did this odd form of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And God was mad at him. Okay. And killed him. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. This is pretty heavy stuff. Right. And then there's only one son left, Shua, and Judah holds him back. Okay. Because he doesn't want Tamar, who's Er's wife. This is the poison maiden motif or the black widow motif. Okay.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. He didn't want Shua to get involved in this because he's afraid that he'll lose his only son.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
If he doesn't do the right thing, then God's already shown what he's going to do.
That's right. That's right. So he kind of holds him back, says, well, we'll wait for a while. And now that takes us to the next week's story, okay? But what here I want to say is that this is an odd form of birth control that Onan did. And that takes us back also to this whole idea of the marital act.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Catholic teaching that you need to be free with regard to the marital act. Okay.
Yep.
It's a unitive thing, but it also needs to be free to open, you know, for offspring,
children in the future,
children,
yeah,
what have you. Right. Mm-hmm. Children were not seen as a problem until birth control came around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true. It's difficult. I told my story maybe before of my dad being the oldest of 12 during the Depression, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
And they were dirt poor, literally dirt poor. My grandfather was a coal miner, right?
Mm.
But they never looked at their children as a problem.
Right, yeah.
Even though they scraped the best we could to feed them. I mean, you know.
Yeah, can't even imagine.
Right, yeah. right. So that's an important point I want to bring up here as well, because we're talking about living in concupiscence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what birth control is part of the lie. What it does is it separates the marital act, you know, naturally from its end, and therefore it becomes, sex becomes an end in itself.
Sure, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I would mention that since we're talking about, you know, JP2 and
mm-hmm.
Theology of the Body and how it fits into this story.
Right, because it's a part of this whole story. Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry, you know, we're bringing this thing to an end in a rather negative note, but that means we have to wait till the next podcast to see how God brings good out of this awful situation.
Yeah, it seems impossible, doesn't it? But God does do that. Now, I do want to go back to you know, your big question from my perspective that was in your post on Ancient Hopes was, how is it that God could have chosen this group of really kind of nasty, sinful, concupiscent, worldly people?
Right.
And I think that for me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but for me, it's just, it goes back to the every man, every woman thing. It's like, this helps me to understand they are me. They are my
Absolutely.
Family. And so it's like God can choose
mm-hmm.
any person, any
right.
group in order to do the things that he wants to get done, what God wants to get done.
That's right. You know, and I can't emphasize enough that every family has an impossible situation.
Uh-huh, sure.
We look at it and we say, I don't see how this is going to turn out right.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
Yeah.
But God is always the God of the impossible.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's part of this story as well.
Yep. And that's the great part of the story.
Well, actually, we're ending on a good note just because you brought
that up.
That's
what I was hoping. Okay, good. Anything else?
No, that's it for this week.
Okay, good. Well, we'll see you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.